You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more, every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Ina Kuroczkina, filmmaker, documentalist, creator of Ichkeria News channel on YouTube, a representative of Ahmed Zakayev, Prime Minister of Chechen Republic of Ichkeria.
Political Periscope.
You have an unusual story because you're half Ukrainian, born in Georgia, and you represent Ichkeria. Can you say how it happened?
It happened step by step because since I was born in Georgia, I know the Caucasus mentality. And for me, it was the basic things. You know, we understand each other very good on Caucasus. And, you know, when I was 16, it was a tragedy in Tbilisi, well known, of 9 April of 1989, when Russian soldiers killed Georgian women and Georgian girls. And it was such a shock for me, because as half Russian, I didn't expect never such a crime that soldier could, you know, kill Georgian girls or Georgian women. And they did it like President Zelensky told after Bucha. He told that they did it like with great taste, you know. They wanted to kill. And I was so shocked. I was so stressed. I never could imagine that Russians could be like that, because I knew Russians only from books, from literature, and never meet like Russian from Moscow or from St. Petersburg. And that was great shock. And after USSR collapsed, we had our first president, Sviatgam Sakhurdia, a person who kept this historical memory since revolution, since Russian Empire. It was like Polish people know, as well Georgian people know what is what Russia is. So he was our first president, and we were proud. And me, as Ukrainian and half Ukrainian, half Russian, I was proud of my first president, Sviatgam Sakhurdia. But as we understood, suddenly he was threatened from Kremlin if he couldn't sign new the United Empire agreement, the troops will move into Tbilisi, into Georgia. Of course, he denied this. And immediately all this army who was based near Tbilisi, near Georgia, and even from Azerbaijan, they went to Tbilisi. And it was, and started war. It was not civil war. It was presented as a civil war to all the world, and even to Georgian people. Because first step, what they did, they crushed TV, Georgian TV. And we start to receive information from Moscow. So that was first steps of propaganda. And even, you know, very well-known journalists from Moscow presented themselves as liberals and Democrats. They came to Georgia and started to make their propaganda that Sviatgam Sakhurdia was crazy, he was nationalist, he was despot. And so it was the propaganda. And he started to make PR for KGB guy, Eduard Shevardnadze, and for mafia guy, Jabo Yosiliani. So after that started the, you know, it was the hell in our country. Georgia became hell. For 5 years, we went in war, in no light, no water, no gas. It was really hell. So after that was Ichkeria. It was war in Chechnya first, then second. Then it was war against Georgia in 2008. And even in that period, all the world didn't recognize Russia is guilty. They let Putin do that, as before. They let Yeltsin do that, and then to Putin. So even this commission of Tagliavini recognized this war as Georgia first did first steps in this war. Can you imagine? So of course this was a big stress for me, because I, as person who understands the mechanism and the nature of all this process, I understood that this is great propaganda in our country, in, you know, all the world. So after that, when actually I knew about Chechenian war very little, because propaganda did such a steps like all Chechens are terrorists and they are guilty themselves, they did the wrong steps, so Chechnya is part of Russia. And I, you know, accepted like all the world, if you ask somebody in the West or United States, they will tell Chechnya is part of Russia and no stop any conversation. But Mr. Landsbergis, Vytautas Landsbergis, he first told to me on some forum, he started to tell me the truth, because he knew Johar Dudaev, you know, and started to tell this all the truth. And when I understood the truth, I start to ask my colleagues, Russians, what do you think about that? And all these people, all journalists, all politicians from Russia, even liberals, even opposition to Putin, start to tell, no, Chechens are terrorists. No, Chechens are all our bandits. And this led me to, you know, understand from very beginning what's going on in Chechnya. So it was the same process as now in Ukraine. So Russian Federation attacked Ichkeria. It was independent state. And I started to make movies. I did maybe for 2 years, each day almost, digging all facts. And I was just shocked. And then when I met Mr. Ahmed Zakayev, we started to work, like cooperate. And he invited me to be his representative, because it's very important to make relations between other nations, because Chechen society are concentrated on themselves, but definitely it needed to be, you know, some steps to integrate, to explain, to crush all this propaganda, all this cliche about Chechen people.
You've lived in Russia for some time. Also, your husband is Russian. What do you think about the Russians, about their mentality? How is it possible that this state functions in this way?
It was very dramatical, because I was like a refugee from Georgian war, and I thought as soon as I'm Russian, Russian society could accept me like Russian, because I have Russian language, Russian culture, Russian mentality, and I read some books in Russian. I could imagine that I will integrate there. But as soon as I came to St. Petersburg, I understood immediately that this is a moon. I came to other civilization. And, you know, today, Ukrainians, refugee from Ukraine, they are accepted and welcome here in Europe. And people are very, you know, sorry about that. But no way in that time in St. Petersburg. I was not... You cannot tell that even some empathy. People was laughing about my accent, Georgian accent, laughing about my situation. They treat me like sadist, actually. And I could never explain the drama, what happened in Georgia, when Russians killed Georgian women. I never could explain. They didn't understand me. And this was another civilization. I understand that they are different, completely different, and they never will understand. Only one person was Andrei I met. He was only one person who knew about Sviatgam Sakhurdia and who knew about Chechen wars. And actually, he was person who explained it a little bit different, because I was also a little bit under this Russian propaganda. And Andrei was person... I don't know why, he or he is clever, or he is maybe also has such a memory because his father, his great father, was killed, executed in KGB house, Bolshoi Dom. We have an, you know, Litany Prospect in St. Petersburg. Maybe he had some. I think it's only, it's very unusual and unique. And he was very famous architect and has very good business. And then we cooperated with one Italian businessman and we opened business, and it was really successful and very, it was very good. And because Andrei really is a very gifted architect. But as soon as Russia attacked Georgia in 2008, we decided to stop business with Italian and stop all these relations. And we took our family and went to Europe. That's the story.
Do you still maintain contact with your friends from Russia?
No, after 2014, when we organized our channel and our production company, because we stopped to be an architect. And as soon as we could not explain to people what happened in 2008, we could not explain. People didn't understand. And even in Russia, you know what, they're just laughing. Oh, Georgians, yes, let them go to Georgia back, like that. So we could not explain anything. But in 2014, we decided to start to explain something, because it was, again, people are laughing. Oh, these Ukrainians are so funny. These Ukrainians are, you know, as usual. This is Russian mentality, empire mentality. They are laughing on another nations. This is their nature. And we start to do movies about Ukraine, explaining what the Russian is. Russia is aggression, and Russia is, you know, terrorist state. We start to explain.
Do you think it is possible to reintegrate Russia into the world after the war?
No, never, no, never. Their mentality, it actually, it's not human. I can tell this because I have such an experience. I know people on Caucasus, I know people in Europe, in Poland, in Czech Republic, in Italy, in United States. They all are human. In Russia, no. They have very special mentality, anti-human, sadistic. And this is, I don't know, has to be, they have to be treated like with people who are under huge propaganda and maybe like Nazis. But even with Nazis, it was some chance to get result. Here, there is no any result. Only chance is to collapse the state because it's very dangerous. Not in terms, not only in terms of power and army, in terms of mentality, it's very dangerous, you know.
You've mentioned literature. Well, actually, it's an argument brought by many Western publicists, commentators, experts, that, well, Russia has such literature with deep universal values as Tolstoy, Dostoevsky. Does this literature represent Russia, or is it just, I don't know, an error?
No, it's a myth, and it's artificially created by state, by empire. As soon as they accept that they are the main nation in this area and all colonies are just colonies, but if you go deep in Ukrainian culture, you find completely different literature, completely different culture and more rich. But as soon they are where colony of this empire, they could not develop like you know, great culture. But if you make this, you know, opposite way, imagine that Ukraine was center of empire, you will understand, you would understand that Russian culture is more rich, and it had to be more chances to be great literature than this, you know, Dostoevsky. Because if you go deep in Dostoevsky, it's just, it's perverse. It's even, you know, it's dangerous. I think for Russian mentality, it's even more dangerous because he put to your as he did with me, because in Georgia, when it was a war, can you imagine, it was several years of disaster, of you know, you are living on the bottom of some I don't know, some ocean, and you have nothing, you know, of normal life, yeah. And I started to read Dostoevsky, and it was such a bad step. It was, you know, after that, Andrei took maybe several years to treat me opposite way, because it's feelings of, very bad feelings of, I don't know, self-eating. Do you understand what I mean? It's just, it's unnormal. It's not healthy, these feelings. They're very, it's unnormal. Very neurotic ways, because if you put all these narratives to very ill person, you get Dostoevsky's idiot. It's no connection to humanism, no connection. It's illness.
Collapse of Russia, and what next?
And next will be very simple, because people are living in this empire will understand they have different identity. They will find themselves, they are Ukrainians, they are Finns, they are, you know, Italians, they are Jewish, and this is identity. No connection, no relation with any Russian. Russian, it's artificial meaning.
Do you think that the boycott of Russian culture is good or bad thing?
It's not maybe a boycott. Let them do, but let them proud, because you know, in the rest, in the end of the day, they will proud of this literature, culture inside themselves. Because now what I can see in the social nets, for example, Ukrainians, Georgians are just passing by. They say, no, we don't want, just, you know, let us not to listen this, all these things. You talk to your friend and you talk to your student between yourself. Nobody will listen their empire, you know, statement anymore.
You live here in Prague. What do Czechs think about war in Ukraine, about Russia?
Of course, they have this memory, historical memory about 1968. And of course, they make a parallel. And they understand what is Russian soldier. Everybody understands already. So, of course, they are on side of Ukraine. They help Ukraine. And there are some accidents. Maybe they're rough with Russians, but it's different mentality. It's different nature. Nobody wants to be rough with somebody, or even with Russia. Only if Russian starts to make himself, you know, proud of his very great empire. It's if they do like this, of course, they have answer from Czech persons, from Czech people. But otherwise, all the world can live in peace and normal relation, unless Russian is coming.
Do you think that Russian mentality and Russian culture is a part of European culture and European mentality?
Mentality, definitely not. I think the culture, it's of course, there is some parts they took from European culture, like architecture or art. They took all from Italian or European and German and Polish, or they brought French. It's artificial and took from other cultures. This is talking about culture. But mentality, it's Asian. It's coming from Orda. In no relation with all this, you know, honor and some understanding about way of relations. No, it's absolutely different mentality. It's no connection with European.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This was The Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.